Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Thrillhill, could you please serve everyone on Profile This Is Played?
Oh, sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Jorge. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola. All right, Jorge, you understand how this year game is played?
Yes.
Fantastic. You have your choice of one of three stories today. Today we offer you the wonderful world of drugs. We have bite me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? And finally today, animalize this, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem.
It's been a crazy week. Let's do drugs.
You're not going to believe this, but we go to the state of Florida, where officers with the Jupiter, Florida Police Department, they were dispatched to the Jupiter Wellness Center and Pharmacy for reports of an aggressive patient armed with a gun. Now, a witness told deputies that the suspect, later identified as 67-year-old Louis Capelli, he aggressively kicked open the pharmacy door, waving around a holstered firearm in his hand. Two staff members told police that he stated he would, quote, blow you guys up if he didn't get his drugs. Quick side note, he had a prescription. Anyway, the two employees called law enforcement, and when Capelli noticed that they were calling the cops, he said, quote, call the cops. I'm allowed to open carry. Capelli then continued to the back of the pharmacy toward a doctor and continued to aggressively demand the prescription. Now, upon arrival of the police, Capelli, he was in possession of a black bag containing two firearms and one pellet gun. Now, he told officers that he never brandished a firearm, but he did admit that he had visited the medical office. Now, based on the evidence, officers say they found probable cause to book his ass for two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and one count of carrying a firearm into an alcohol establishment. Oh, okay. Anyway, the question is, what drug was he demanding, even though he had a prescription for it? Was it Oxycontin? Was it Xanax? Was it Percocet or was it Valium? So Oxys, Xanax, Percocet, or Valium?
Well, there are some options. What do you think, Ted?
Man, I don't know. It's tough because they're all... I mean, I can see people freaking out if you're addicted to any of them.
Yeah.
I guess Valium, too.
I don't know. I guess if you
just
don't have it.
Just because it's Florida, I'll go Oxys. I don't understand. Like, he has the prescription.
You have a prescription, dude. Just...
George, I'm doing the same thing. I'm just going to Percocet route.
Okay. And yeah, prescription. I'm going to try. I'm going to say Oxy.
You're going to go Oxy.
All right. Okay.
What did this guy have a prescription for, but wanted to get a gun and try to get more, I guess? Oxy, Xanax, Percocet, or Valium. We'll let you know next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Category is drugs on profile. This we go to Florida where a patient was at a facility. He kicked open the pharmacy door, wherever that was. He had a gun.
Yeah.
He demanded drugs from the pharmacist, drugs that he actually had a prescription for. Question is, what was the drug? Oxycontin, Xanax, Percocet, or Valium?
And Jorge, that is the question that we asked you. Let us start with Miles Montgomery. You went with Percocet. It was not Percocet. And Jorge, you agreed with D. Ted Smith, who said, look, man, they're all prescription drugs. Anyone might go crazy if they're addicted, but it's Florida, which says a lot. And you were both correct.
Okay. Oxys.
It was, in fact, Oxys.
Yeah.
He had a prescription for them. That's the part I don't get.
Like, he just walked in already mad?
It said he kicked the door open to the pharmacy and started waving the gun around. It's like, bro, you have a prescription. We have it here. We have to fill it for you, but like, put the gun down. But he was, whatever was going on in his brain, I'm assuming he was on something else when he showed up.
Now for all TV news all the time, and it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
So yesterday on the show, we were talking about something, and somehow we got on the Montreal Expos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And Throw, you just said, if people don't go, the team leaves. And I was like, yeah, but I feel like it's kind of like a Sonics Gate thing where there was more involved. So I said, you know what? There's a documentary on Netflix about the Expos. And basically, the whole documentary is who's at fault.
All right.
So first of all, I don't think this will shock a lot of people, but as an American, I just remember the Expos kind of the same thing, like seemed like it was in decline. Nobody really cared.
Sure.
I didn't realize that was the first Major League Baseball franchise outside the United States.
Really? That was the first one?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Right, because they got the Expos, I want to say, in the late 60s, early 70s. And like,
oh, probably during the World Expo Fair, I'm guessing.
And these people, well, they had a minor league team, but these people in Montreal, they really liked baseball. And like, they were saying, they were like, you know, like your Canada, they were like, you know, we kind of felt like part of the crew.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have a baseball team. So there's one guy that owns it. He doesn't have a ton of money. So the team does all right and whatever, and they run into some, you know, financial troubles. So basically this guy goes and he's like, I don't want to have, like, most baseball teams are just owned by one person, right?
Right.
You know, you had the Steinbrenners of the world, this and that. So he goes to a bunch of different businesses in Montreal and it's like, hey, what if we put a collective together? We'll all put in this amount of money and we'll keep the team in Canadian ownership, right? Another thing you got to keep in mind, I didn't really think about it, is like it's Canada, right? So they don't have as, like, they have business people and stuff, but you don't have the generational wealth that had already been accumulated by a lot of these, a lot, you know, I'm trying to think of these families, like the Vanderbilts or the
Rockefellers,
you know what I mean? Like the Ford family, this family, that family. So they're like, we just don't have that kind of money up here yet. So anyhow, they get these guys together. And they're kind of running the team, but they're also, Major League Baseball is like, one guy's got to be in charge.
Okay. Manage the team, so to speak.
Right. So now they're kind of plugging along, and they get actually a really good team, right? And I kind of forgot about this. In 1994, of course, was famous for the baseball strike. Mm. They were the best team in baseball, right? You had Felipe Alou had played there.
Yep.
Felipe Alou.
Was Andre Dawson on that team?
Andre Dawson was on that team.
Ron LaFleur from Detroit.
Larry Walker's on that team. Okay. What's his name? The pitcher. You know him from the Red Sox.
Not Tom Seaver.
No. Caribbean guy. Threw down the old baseball coach from the Yankees once. He's on Fox. He's on there all the time.
I don't know.
Oh, Pedro Martinez.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
So they have a lot of these young, really good guys. And you got to keep in mind, in the 90s, the Braves were a dynasty in the National League.
Yes, they were.
I think they only won one World Series, but the Braves were the best. They're beating the Braves and this and that. So now you're kind of like, they're already against it, right? So part of the strike issue is that the Expos themselves are like, we want a salary cap. The players don't want it.
Of course they don't.
Right. But they're cruising along, right? They're probably, like, they're going to go to the World Series. And at this point, they had been down for so long, they were losing money. So they're like, the stadium's packed all the time, right? It's like part of the culture there. This one woman's talking about her baby was born. She was like, okay, bring a TV in. I need to see the Expos game. So who knows what happens if that season doesn't end? So now so first you have the guy that doesn't have enough money. Now you have the strike shortened season, which really crushes them. And then basically, they just have a fire sale and sell their best players. Right? So they sell their four best players. So now the team just sucks. So then you go a couple more years. So then he's running out of money. The other owners don't like him. He got appointed by the Major League Baseball to be in charge of the Expos and make all the decisions. So those group of owners vote him out for trading all the players. Now you got to find another buyer. So Major League Baseball, they find Jeffrey Lurie. Right? Art dealer from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up there. I forget the guy he has with him. That guy just comes off as a complete twerp. And they're like, they have a big press conference. the Expos are going to be back. We're going to buy free agents, this and that. They don't. Right? And I get it. They're like, look, when you looked at the financials, it's worse than we thought.
Sure.
But also, you know, they just didn't do what they
were. Was there no collective bargaining agreement?
Right. So the other thing is now they say we need a new stadium. But at this point, you got to keep in mind.
That's the time you're going to bring it up.
Okay. The Canadian dollar is not doing well, especially in Quebec, right? In Montreal, right? So they're kind of lobbying, like, we need to get the stadium. But the city officials are like, man, we can't pay the schools.
Right.
We're not going to build a new stadium right now. So Jeffrey Lurie and all of this, where he says there's nothing we could, you know, his buddies, no, there's nothing we could do. So basically, look, they didn't do anything illegal, but they wrote in all this stuff in these contract with the other owners that basically Jeffrey Lurie, who has enormously deep pockets, if he says, hey, I'm going to go buy Miles Montgomery and you guys can't chip in any money, then I get to buy you out.
Right.
So he just buys out enough of the guys, gets enough.
The team.
Right. Then sells the team. He bought it for, what, $70 million? Sells it for $120 million because now they're going to be a franchise in Miami. The league just buys it back. I don't know how he made that much money off it if you didn't sell it to another guy.
Right.
And then basically at that point, the stadium is in disrepair. I mean, it's raining in there sometimes. It's a dome stadium. It's an Olympic stadium. Yeah. It's not built for baseball. It's awful. But again, you can't really blame these people for not wanting to do that.
So the Expos are the Miami Marlins?
No, they're the Washington Nationals.
Jeffrey Lurie basically just wanted to own a team, so he bought the Expos, kind of flips it, and then goes, ooh, I'd rather live in Miami and run that team. He goes to Miami. So now the Major League Baseball basically is just babysitting the Expos, and all the other owners are kind of making decisions. Well, they're not going to spend money.
No.
So then... And I don't blame at this point, the fans who love the team, but they're just like, well, why would we go to this park and watch these games? You can't. So, again, it's very complicated. There's not one single thing you can point at besides money.
Yeah.
And go, it was the strike that killed the Expos, or it was Jeffrey Lurie and his buddy. Like, they all kind of have a part in it. But in the end, it's like the same thing. It's like you're blaming the fans because in the States, that's what they do. You get taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And listen, I can hear both sides of that argument, right? You can't deny, I know everybody here had to pay a lot of taxpayer money to get a Lumen Field built, or for FIFA stuff, Seattle Stadium. But also, you look at all the businesses and everything that are in that area that benefit from it as well. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's a tough call. All it does, really, is frustrate you. Because when you see these people and their passion for it, I mean, the one guy, he's like, look, I stopped watching baseball. I couldn't watch a game for 10 years. But then he has a boy. His son's into baseball, so now he likes it again. But I guess for me, I was just blown away. Like, I did not realize how much of a culture thing that was. I didn't realize that Felipe Alou had played there. He liked it so much. He moved up there, married a girl from there, raised his kids there. I mean, it's wild.
Montreal is a great city. It's one of the greatest cities in North America.
Yeah, and when you hear Pedro Martinez even talking about it when he was young, he goes, you love crossing the border. Right? He was like, there's no guns, there's no crime. I mean, right. Montreal's changed over the years, but he was like, it was great.
Quebec City's beautiful.
I think about Kevin Durant, right? He's drafted by the Seattle Supersonics.
Correct.
And he gets there, and he's like, this city, this is cool. Then they moved to Oklahoma City, and to his credit, and he's vocal about anything he wants to be vocal about, but he's like, I don't want to live in effing Oklahoma City. Nobody wants to live in Oklahoma. I know, and actually, Oklahoma City is doing well for itself right now, but by comparison, it's not a place you want to be. And he made enough money where it's not a financial thing.
Correct. And the Jeffrey Lurie thing really just like, it just seemed like they were doing dirty business. Now, the other owners took him to court and they talk about it. And he's like, well, they didn't win anything. It's like, you're right. To the letter of the law, you had it in the contracts. I don't think those other guys, you know, like, they had better lawyers and more money, and these guys didn't know, I think, what they were agreeing to sign.
Right.
And then also, they just didn't have a chance. You know what I mean? If you're a guy that owns a few banks in a city, like, you're rich, you have money, but you don't have that Jeffrey Lurie money. You can't start. So basically, he just waited for his turn to buy them all out and then said, I'm going to go to Miami.
Which is the plan from the beginning.
Correct.
Guaranteed.
I even talked to my brother about it, who's a massive Nationals fan. It seemed crazy that baseball hadn't been there. And he's like, look, I'm a Nationals fan.
The Senators were there.
Right, and they left. I want to say they became the Minnesota Twins, but even he was like, I feel really bad for Montreal. Like, none of us really knew that whole story. And I was one of those Americans too. I'm like, they speak French. They don't care about baseball. Turns out I was wrong. They really liked baseball a lot. It was like part of their culture. Like the mascot, like, still shows up and does stuff.
Really?
And then, right, when you see these guys in their 50s and 60s just crying. And then when they sold that team to DC, they gave the fans half an hour. They hold a press conference at like 4:30, game first pitches at 7, like, oh yeah, by the way, this could be the last Expos game ever.
Damn.
I mean, it's just, you just realize the fans of that team, they're the only ones to get screwed.
Sure.
It's not shocking. Everybody else made money. Jeffrey Lurie made plenty of money. He still owns a franchise in Miami.
Yep.
Major League Baseball made money. It's just like, you can hear it in my voice. It just sucked.
Yeah.
And again, watch.
Well, it sounds like an interesting documentary.
It's a great documentary.
If you like baseball.
Yeah. And it's really good. Let's see. Matt LeBlanc. We know him from Friends.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
How's Joey?
He had Joey for 2 years.
Which was a spinoff of
Friends.
Yeah.
But
then he had the one on Showtime or HBO where he kind of played.
Was it Extra? No, that was her show. I forget what his show was on HBO.
But it was great.
It was basically
he was playing himself in an older version.
Correct.
Does like taking advantage of all the chicks.
I guess that's kind of what Thrill's saying. Yeah. So this is a different role for Matt LeBlanc. The show's called Flint, and this will be on network TV. And it's a cop drama, right? It's about a burned out LAPD detective who's looking forward to retirement when the city extends his service another 5 years. Determined to get fired, Miles, he starts breaking the rules, disobeying orders. But unfortunately for him, makes him a better cop.
Of course. What an original pitch.
It's quoted as a smart, character-driven show that has a really distinctive tone. I guess they're trying to pitch it. They're saying it'll be ready for 27-28. I like the idea, though. The cop is like, I'll break the rules. People are like, oh, we like this cop.
Right. Good guy. Sounds familiar.
It does. I like Matt LeBlanc. I'm sure if that actually hits network TV, I'd give it a watch. See what's going on there. I like that guy. And then, I would highly recommend, if you want to be pissed off and watch a little sports documentary, watch the, Uncut or Untold on Netflix. And I'm telling you, that's how it ends. They interview different people in the end, and they're like, there's no real one person to blame.
Sure, you know what I mean?
Again, just the money game.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Los Angeles family is surprised when a large chunk of ice crashes through their roof. Meanwhile, 90-year-olds play video games, and Ohio police have the proof. Man spends 8 years with a metal chopstick stuck in his throat. Two people busted after having 350 crabs on their boat. And a transportation secretary had to have her car towed after hitting a pothole. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top story. We're going to China, where a man took a little while to solve a problem. He recently went to the doctor's office complaining of an unbearable pain in his throat. They did an X-ray and found the culprit, a 12-centimeter metal rod that was lodged in his throat, which was later determined to be a chopstick.
I'm assuming he did not know it was there.
I don't know how you can't is the thing, man.
I'm right. That's unbelievable.
As to how he managed to get the chopstick lodged into his throat, other than to say that he used to have an alcohol problem. That's literally his only explanation. I used to have a problem with alcohol.
Like, I mean, I can relate to that. It just seems like if you're using two chopsticks to eat, you'd know when you only have one.
Right. Now, while he complained that the pain that he was suffering from was unbearable, it apparently wasn't bad enough to warrant any medical attention for the prior 8 years that it was stuck in there.
See, that's a dude. That's a dude.
Right.
Not my penis. Yeah, my throat hurts. I don't know what's wrong, but I ain't gone.
You knew he just thought that he was going to pass the doggone thing.
God damn, a chopstick.
Yeah, doctors eventually performed a procedure and extracted the stick from his throat, and he was able to go about his life.
Yeah. Things get better when they pull chopsticks out of your throat.
Yes, it did. In other news, to California, where they don't play around with numbers, according to Fish and Wildlife, two people were stopped after a day out on the water and were found to have been fishing without licenses. Now, while a couple catches could be overlooked by some, these two found themselves in a world of trouble as they were found in possession of 351 crabs, a full 281 more than the legal limit.
Okay.
Jeez. No, not Dungies. I forget what they were. Hang on.
They were, where were they? A crab I've not heard of.
Like a striped crab of some kind.
Off the coast of California, right?
Huh. All right. Yeah. Where were they here? Collected crabs. Shoot. They said what they were, Doug. Striped shore crabs.
All right. All right. They must be good to eat if they went that far over.
No kidding. Let's go to Disney World, where not everybody has a good time. A man's been arrested and charges have been filed, all because we have a line-cutting issue. The story goes that the man was waiting in line at Tiana's Bayou Adventure when an 18-year-old and her friend both tried to skip ahead of the line. The man allegedly attempted to block the teenagers, who then claimed that they were catching up to a friend that was waiting further up in the line, but this was not enough of an excuse for the man, who refused to yield. Things escalated when the two attempted to push their way past, which the man responded to by pushing the 18-year-old, causing her to fall back on her friend. He denies shoving the girl, but he was arrested and faces a charge of battery. The girl's dad also voiced his displeasure at the situation, calling the man's actions, quote, inexcusable.
Well, so don't cut in line. I mean, just that's
were they going thing. To meet other people?
That's what they said, but you don't know.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's kind of my question, because he said the dad was pissed off.
I'm assuming right. You were going to meet other people only because it's Disney. The lines are notoriously long, so no one would willingly let you get in front of them.
I mean,
but he.
Go ahead,
I never
Mike.
Quite backed up kids that they were catching up to somebody in line. Like, they never said that anybody caught up to them during this whole commotion. So, and I've seen videos of these young kids that, sorry, they're not waiting in line. They just skip ahead. They're just, well, you know, I don't know why everybody's waiting. I'm just skipping ahead to the front. I've seen a handful of videos of them actually doing this at these parks, and it's,
well, they just found out.
I don't know why this
is. Somebody goes to the bathroom, someone goes, but by the time the line moves through, now you're going out under everybody, under the railing.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I've been to Disney World, and, like, you can do that. I've let somebody through to go to the bathroom. We're like, sometimes we would run over to one ride and get fast passes and then come back. But, like, we were like, we have the fast passes. We just connected, and they were like, all right.
Sure.
But if they're just like, right. yeah, our friends are up there. You shouldn't push anybody, but I can get the guy being like, prove it.
Yeah, the guy didn't handle it right. But in the end, if you cut in line, man, sometimes you catch hands. I mean, this is one of those things. It's a fact of life.
A supervisor for Los Angeles County is calling for an FAA investigation after somebody in the area found themselves in the splash zone. Photos were shared to social media that shows a local home with a massive hole in the ceiling that stemmed from a large chunk of ice that reportedly fell through it. They noticed that there was a plane flying overhead at the time of the crash and are looking for an investigation into whether or not the ice originated from the plane. Nobody was injured, and the chunk is being preserved until it can be examined.
Is it just ice or one of those poop ices?
That's what they're trying to figure out.
I mean, it's typically from the laboratory.
Dirty, dirty poop ice.
Dirty, dirty poop
ice. Did you
ice.
See but the photos?
Starts, I didn't.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It is alarming.
Oh, that really?
They just went through their roof. Yeah.
And under their couch.
Yeah.
Weren't stopped. Couldn't get through that couch.
We're lucky nobody was injured. Just to get so starts with a bad taste in your mouth. We go to Ohio, where a crisis has been averted. A local volunteer group called Confirm OK is a system for local residents in which volunteers will call the local elderly folks just to check in and make sure that everybody's doing all right.
Hey, how you doing?
Nice. But alarms started getting raised when one of their 91-year-old seniors was not answering her check-in phone calls. They also received word that the woman's daughter was not able to reach her by phone either, and local authorities were called to do a welfare check. They arrived to find that the woman's car was outside of her home, but she didn't answer knocks at the door, and eventually they forced their way in. They did make their way inside, and they did find the 90-year-old woman. Enjoying herself playing video games.
She
just had her headphones on. She couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. She was on like her highest score ever. So she was just locked in.
I'm not answering the door, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Men's Room Sports got hockey on ESPN, UFL football on NFL Network, and the Mariners have Game 3 against San Diego currently underway over on Mariners TV. Boy, they gave up a bad one last night.
That was tough.
As far as your weather... Golly.
Why? Just because you're up 6-0? So what? Yeah. You know, anything can happen.
with a high of 58 tomorrow to welcome us into the weekend. That is up your headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow for, I believe, a 420 inspired Bad Choice Friday.
You are 100% correct.
The return of Ted versus the FCC. The lovely Jolene's coming up here in just seconds.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.